This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to 1 Samuel. And we're coming today to Samuel chapter 28. Saul was a man who appeared to start out well, but finished very, very badly. A lot of people have said, was Saul a believer? I think from all the evidence, and Jesus said, by your fruits you shall know them, from all the evidence that you see, Saul's fruits all bore bad things. And we're going to see some of the worst things that happened that Saul did, that ultimately led to God telling Saul that he would end up dying in battle along with his sons. And it was because of his open rebellion and defiance of the Lord. Saul has been pursuing David, but David had gone, as we saw last week on Wednesday night, David had gone into the camp of the Philistines because he knew that Saul would not go after him there. And Saul did not. Saul turned back. However, now the Philistines are coming again for Saul, and Saul doesn't know what to do. And so this is where we're going to pick it up today, is Saul is trying to seek the Lord to find out what he should do, because the Philistines are preparing to attack. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to Saul, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And David said to Achish, "Surely thou shalt not know what thy servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." So David is still in the camp of the Philistines. The Achish, who is the leader of the Philistines at Gath, is preparing to go to war with Saul, and he wants David as his right-hand man to watch over him, but David gives him kind of a double-pointed answer where he doesn't really tell him what his intent is, but his intent is not to fight Israel. David will not fight against his brothers. And so he's not going to go to war with Achish. But Saul has heard all of this, and so Saul is worried and Saul's afraid. This has been Saul's main problem all along, is Saul is filled with fear of men, and he desires to please men more than he desires to seek and please God. And so when the Philistines say they're going to attack, instead of really calling on the name of the Lord for help, Saul doesn't know what to do. And this is where I pick it up at verse 3, "And Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah." And Ramah is still in the news today, by the way. It's one of the areas where the Hamas is located. "Even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." Now, I just pause here. This is something that Saul had done that was good, in that God had said in the law that they were not to be dealing with wizards and familiar spirits and witches and sorcery. That was, the Israelites were not to be involved with it. So Saul had done something that was right according to the law and had them all leave the land. But now some interesting things are going to happen. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." And so they're facing off against each other and getting ready to do battle. "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim." And Urim was the stones where they would ask questions and the stones, they'd get answers by the stones, nor by the prophets. So he wasn't getting any answers from the Lord in the normal ways that David had gotten or that Samuel had gotten. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. I just want to pause here. A familiar spirit is the very ones that he had cast out of the whole land of Israel. So this is typical for Saul. Says one thing, does the other. Says one thing which is good, and then out of fear does the exact opposite because he doesn't trust God, doesn't believe in God, doesn't look to God, and instead relies on his own abilities and realizes he doesn't have the ability to accomplish a task before him, which in this case is fighting the Philistines, and he's terrified. And so he sends for a woman with a familiar spirit. A woman with a familiar spirit is somebody who could speak, basically have like a seance where they could speak to a demonic spirit. And the demonic spirit would give them advice and tell them what was coming and what was going to happen. Now we all know that this is Satan, under normal circumstances, this is Satan lying and deceiving people. But Saul now turns to seek a woman with a familiar spirit. And it says here that seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And that was another town that was a little village that was close by. And so Saul finds out that there's still a woman there, even though he had told them all to leave. And so Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Now, it's very interesting. If Saul was so sure that this was what the right thing to do, why would he take off his kingly robes? Why would he take off and try to disguise himself and say, it's not me? And it's also, it's interesting how they go by night. Nothing good ever happens at night. It seems like wickedness makes its way well during the night. And this is exactly what Saul is doing. He's going in disguise. He's going by night. And why is he doing that? So no one will see who he is. So no one will understand that he is who is the king that said, don't go to anybody that's got a familiar spirit under death penalty, but I will go under disguise as someone else and not the king. They came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I will name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And so she's looking at it that this is a trick. And this person, and she doesn't realize quite yet that it's Saul, is doing this just to ensnare her so that she will be put to death by Saul. And Saul swear to her by the Lord, and I think it's, pause here, it's interesting, Saul swears to her by the Lord, I'm going to tell you, I will not kill you, so help me God, that the Lord will prevent me from killing you. But I, under the Lord's direction, have said that all people that conversing with familiar spirits will be put to death. Saul is so confused and so messed up because, number one, he doesn't fear God at all. He fears men. And this is the whole thing, is if you in your life fear men more than God, you will make wrong choices and really bad choices. And this is what Saul was doing. And so he swore unto her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring up Samuel. Now, if you go to a seance lady, then they'll ask you, who do you want to talk to? You want to talk to some relative, you want to talk to some famous person or whatever. But they're really not, under normal conditions, talking to that person. Some people who teach the Bible say, well, is it really Samuel that's going to come? I believe it truly is that the Lord sent Samuel simply because of the whole situation, and that Samuel could deliver the warning and the prophecy that's going to be given concerning Saul for this wickedness that he's involved with. Under no conditions is speaking through seances and familiar spirits with the dead or necromancy of the Lord. And this was not of God other than God judging Saul. And there's a man who is a pastor in a Calvary Baptist or Calvary Chapel church on the East Coast, and supposedly he is speaking to his dead son. His dead son appears to him, and he talks to him, and he tells him stuff. And I'm saying it is not his dead son, because God said he hates necromancy and he speaks against it. Because this man is saying, well, God gave me an exception. Now there's other Christians who think they have exceptions. And nowhere does God say that we're supposed to trust in the word of the Lord. We're supposed to look to the Lord and the direction of His Holy Spirit and not seek out the dead for advice. And God condemns this, and it's an abomination to Him. So Saul has done this. And so now let's see what happens. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, "What hast thou? Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." This is one reason I believe that the Lord did send Samuel back, is because this woman really wasn't expecting him. She wasn't expecting to see Samuel. And Samuel appears, and she's terrified. She is absolutely terrified. And if you're a woman who's normally dealing with demonic spirits, you're used to the demonic spirits, not used to what God is doing here. And she's not only terrified because Samuel is appearing before her, which she didn't expect, but also when Samuel appears, she realizes it's Saul that's in her presence, and Saul's the very one that said she should be put to death for what she's engaging in right now. And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And so Saul sees that it's Samuel, and he's paying homage to Samuel. Saul always does what's wrong. Everything he does in his life is wrong. And this is wrong here. He's worshiping the apparition of Samuel, a man who God allowed to come back from the dead to speak to him, really as a form of judgment against him, and he bows down before him like he would before a king honoring him. And what does Samuel say to him? And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Had Saul truly repented, had Saul truly called on the name of the Lord as David did when David sinned, God would have heard him and forgiven him. But there is no repentance in Saul. There is no, "I've done something wrong" in Saul. All Saul wants is for the problem to go away, the pain to leave. He wants to know how to get the Philistines out of his face and that the war would be over and so that he'd know what to do so it would stop. But he doesn't really want to change his behavior, nor does he really want to worship the God of the Bible, nor does he really want to repent of his sin. Because you see none of that in his life. You only see fear, and you only see the wrong decisions that he continually makes. Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" He says, "Why are you coming to ask me? I'm not God's enemy, so why do you think I can be able to tell you? Because you're the enemy of the Lord. God has departed from you. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." Well, that's not exactly what Saul wanted to hear and why he wanted Samuel to come up. But Samuel was sent by the Lord to once again reaffirm the prophecy that he gave before he died. And that was that Saul's kingdom was done. And it was because Saul had turned his back on God. And he didn't want anything to do with the Lord except when he was ready to be attacked or except, but then it really didn't want to be on God's side. He just wanted the pressure removed. "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon the Amalek, therefore the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." And that was where Saul, remember Saul was supposed to wipe out the Amalekites? Because they were so wicked and so evil, and God told him, and Saul not only did not wipe out the Amalekites, he let the king live, he let the best of the cattle, brought them in to make them sacrifices to the Lord, not understanding the sacrifice that he was to make to the Lord was obedience, the sacrifice of obedience. He didn't obey. And it was because of this that God was going to give the kingdom to David, and then things just went downhill from there. "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." So basically what Samuel told him, tomorrow you and your sons are going to die in battle. And not only that, the Philistines are going to win. And Israel is going to lose. And it's because of you, Saul. It's because of you. And then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid. He fell flat down on the ground and was afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, "Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto the words which thou speakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way." Because Saul was literally not only a spiritual basket case, an emotional basket case, but he was physically exhausted and weak because he hadn't eaten. But Saul refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice, and he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and bid bake unleavened bread thereof. They must have been really good cooks if they could cook this stuff this fast, because she killed the calf and prepared it and cooked it. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. again, things only continually get worse for Saul. You cannot turn your back on God, and God continually presents you with things that you are to do and decisions you're to make, and you continually ignore the Lord, ignore His Word, and do the exact opposite of what He tells you, and not expect to experience ultimately the judgment of God. And there are a lot of people today that live in this world that are just like Saul. When things are going bad, they are terrified, and so they call on God. But they really don't want to follow God because they really don't want to change their attitude. They don't want to change their rebellious nature. They don't want to repent or turn from their sin. They don't want to do what God's called them to actually do. But they're afraid. And they're like Saul. And they're going to end up like Saul. You see, what God wanted from Saul was not only obedience, but a transformation of his heart. He wanted him to make choices because he loved God, not because he was afraid of his circumstances. He wanted him to make choices because he wanted to obey God, because he wanted to follow God and experience the goodness and love of God, not because the Philistines were waiting around the corner and ready to attack him. He wanted him to make right choices of stopping to follow David, not because David went into the camp of the Philistines, but because he truly had repented of his envy and pride and arrogance and jealousy, and was stopping to follow David like he told David on two occasions he'd do. But he never did. You see, Saul was always the one who was the pragmatist, but never the one who repented and was transformed in his character. You and I shouldn't live as pragmatists. A pragmatist is someone who does what appears to be what's right at that moment. At this moment, Saul thought it was right to consult a medium, even though a little time before he said, put all the mediums to death. But now it was okay, because he's a pragmatist. He's a relativist. He's someone who just goes by the pressure that comes and responds to the pressure instead of responding to truth. You and I are to walk in truth. We are to walk according to the truth of God's Word, the truth of God's character, walking in obedience to His will. And when He convicts us of sin, we are to repent of the sin, not just become afraid for the consequences that we have to face. But rather we're to repent and turn from it and call on the name of the Lord that we walk with Him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to learn from the many, many, many wrong choices of Saul. And help us to realize that when You say something isn't, we're not to do something, You mean we're not to do it. And when You told Saul they're not to consult mediums and wizards and be involved in necromancy, You meant it. And not that, but there's a one time He could. No, there was no times. And Lord, You showed him by bringing Samuel forth and prophesying about Saul's future, which was going to happen the next day. And it was not a bright future because Saul refused to repent. Lord, now I pray that You would help us to have a repentant heart, a loving attitude, and an obedient spirit. And may we walk with You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn only to 487.